If you want to follow Jesus, pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show. It's now time for Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. Wow. Did I say that professly? You said it the best. Where is he? Where is Jesus? You say pick up your cross and go. Where is he? I'm looking for him. Where is he?
Oh, see, it's coming.
Why does he always have to pick up a cross? You know, everywhere you go, people pick up crosses. It's really something. I don't like my cross.
Cross to bear.
I know, but I know where you're going. I wasn't born yesterday. We have a guy, all he does is make crosses for people.
We have a guy that has the most unusual ministry that I have ever seen. He makes crosses for people. So we're talking about Nick Sulik, who also was a very, very loyal listener of our show. And everybody knows Nick. So Nick, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, guys.
I want to say to you what I say to everybody who listens to our program every week.
Yeah, I know, but he's
get a life. Listen, I'm just happy to see your face, not the back of the head watching on the computer all the time. I'm very happy about that.
It's not the most beautiful back of the head.
It's nice.
Really
it's
nice.
It's getting balder and balder. Yeah.
But I can see myself.
Nick watches us every week on the webcam. He listens to our show every week. And also, he's a very ardent critic of our show. Tells us the good and the bad and the indifferent. Right, Nick?
Yes.
And now, who's gonna be the critic?
This is something that I'm not even going to touch today.
Well, we'll let Joni do that.
In your honor. Because you're here, Nick, I have 27 songs I'm going to play.
My penance.
Listeners, Nick doesn't like music. I have another guy who's a critic as well, and he says, when you put the music on, I go to the men's room. Yeah.
And there's another guy I love.
Yeah.
I love that guy, Georgie Baby. Yeah, I love him. Welcome, George. I hope you're listening. And so, Nick, why don't we start by you just telling us a little quickly something about yourself. I mean, I know you have this ministry, you have this, you evangelize through making crosses and a picture of the Madonna. But tell us, how were you brought up? What started you with this stuff? I mean, why, this is a means of evangelization, if you know it or not. So why are you doing this?
Well, I think this started a long time ago when I was a child. I think it all started at my baptism. I had parents that were very religious, grew up in the faith, and you know they enforced the faith within our lives, within our family. Some of us took on to it and some of us didn't. But I think as years went by, faith got stronger, you got a little smarter in life, and you started looking at things in a different perspective. In as far as these crosses that we were talking about, that happened at a very young age, I think. I think God kind of put that in my brain, but I didn't realize it until later in life. And what happened was, my dad, he had passed away years ago. So my mom said to me, go and get some wood and go make a cross and put it on Jesus' garden. And I says, for what? She says, because the headstone won't be ready. So I didn't know much about wood. And I started to make a piece of wood, and I started cutting it, and I messed it all up. I says, oh, what do I do now? So what happened was, my father was Norton. He loved flowers. He loved the garden. And I found an old dried rose in the garage. So I stuck it in the middle of the cross. Next thing you know, I put about 200 gallons of polyurethane, not knowing what I'm doing. So we put that on the cemetery. And I think that's what started my love for making these crosses. I guess for me it was maybe like a closure to his death of some sort, you know. And then it became a hobby. You know, it became a small hobby for me. I started making crosses for family, for baptisms, for communions, things of that sort.
You made one for us?
The one that, if anyone has a camcorder, the one that you're looking at now is a small cross that he made for the show, but he also made a big cross and a big carrying case for the cross that I was bringing every week for 2 years. But then I thought, well, maybe I better bring a small one to come be a little more simpler. So I bring, this is your smaller cross.
Why don't you tell everybody about your hernia?
No, not my hernia, my bad back.
That's funny you mentioned that about the large crosses. I did start making these big 4 or 5 foot crosses.
I have one in my
beautiful.
Office.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
I have one in my office.
But here's the interesting part. Anthony came to me one day and he says, Nick, he goes, you know, you got to realize something. Not everybody has a 20-foot ceiling in their house. He said, you got to make them a little bit smaller. Just maybe people could put them on the wall. And, you know, that's how it all started working out also. I started making big ones, then I got to the medium size, then I started making small ones for jewelry crosses. You know,
what do you mean jewelry crosses?
Well, here's something interesting. A friend of mine, Anthony Nasty, his name is Anthony Nasty, actually.
He puts all his friends, but in the name is Anthony. You're Anthony, he's his friend.
He's been working with jewelry for many, many years. And I asked him one day if he could fix some of my wife's jewelry. She needed something to be fixed. So he fixed it, and I went to pick it up, and I wanted to pay him. He wouldn't accept the money. I said, but you have to take this. So I decided to bring him a cross. It wasn't a small cross. It was a medium-sized cross, like you suggested. Well, I gave him the cross, and then he asked me, he goes, do you ever make small, small crosses? I says, no, not really. I never really worked with really small pieces of wood. He goes, why don't you try it? So I tried it, and, you know, after about a year or so, it's about a year now, actually, that's where we started making these small jewelry crosses. And here's the interesting thing about it. He is educating me on precious and semi-precious stones, which I never knew much about. And this is all God's creation. So this fit into my plan because I try to keep everything as natural as possible. When I look at a piece of wood, when I look at the stone, I didn't make these things. God created these things. So all I'm doing basically is taking what he created and making it into my own little design. You know, that's really what it comes down to as far as that's concerned. But I am thrilled about the fact that I can do this. I'll talk to you on later on a little bit. It's a strong part of my life where prayer becomes very essential.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. How does this link to you and your prayer life and your relationship with God?
So my question, but go ahead.
Well, let me back up for a second. My dad always said to me that it's a sin not to use the gifts that God gave you. And it took me a long time to realize that. But while I'm sitting and working and making these crosses, I have no other choice but to pray. I have a cross in front of me. And it's gotten to the point where there's a lot of conversation going on between myself, Jesus, the Blessed Mother. Actually, the Blessed Mother, I constantly say the Hail Mary. It's just a repeat of the Hail Mary. And with that particular prayer life, what happened was, and I have to bring this up, Anthony, you know, you say it to the day. It kind of inspired me at one point. I says, wait a minute, what if I take advantage of the saints? Ask them to help me also. Because when you do the Saint of the Week, I'll think about them that day. And as I'm putting these crosses together, everything in my mind is always working on the faith, what these saints did. And I ask Jesus, I got a problem with this cross. What do I do here? One day he says, ask St. Joseph, he's the carpenter. You know, so that is definitely has enhanced my prayer life tremendously, absolutely tremendously. It's a vehicle for me, put it that way.
It's actually wonderful, though, because it's a door open to your heart.
Right.
And you open your heart to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and next thing you know, you have a beautiful cross in front of you.
And once you open the door, he comes in. You know, you need to open the door, but once that door is opened, he comes.
Yeah, that's an absolute fact. You can't get away from God when you open the door.
That's
you
right.
Just can't. It's just, I could shut the door if I want to, but then what happens is when I'm working with a saw, I cut my finger or something. And it's, you know, it's kind of funny that you said that. I find that when I'm actually doing the work, and I do this work not because I just want to do it to waste time. I really sincerely, like you said before, I sincerely do it for the sake of prayer life.
Yeah.
It's much easier for me. Because sometimes you can sit down and pray without everything in front of you, and you might get bored.
Mm-hmm.
He's not listening. Is he really there? At least I have some viable object in front of me, and I can really contemplate the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
And that at times can become very scary, you know. But there's a calmness that comes after that, because I think God fills your heart, and he fills your mind, and eases your pain.
Gives you peace.
Yes.
You know, Jesus calls each and every one of us to evangelize in our own little way. You know, like he's got Palmer and I doing a radio show. But he's actually, you're very unique. Because there are other guys doing radio shows and evangelizing, and gals, and there are other people evangelizing, doing talks, like we do talks in front of in churches and prayer groups and stuff like that. But you're evangelizing through the cross, by making crosses. And your crosses, you know, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but your crosses, little by little, step by step, are going into many people's homes, including cardinals, bishops, and clergy, and churches. So I, you know.
Because you give them as gifts.
Yes, I do.
I know.
How do you know?
You told me.
Yeah, I give them.
Well, you know,
I do give them.
That's right, he does.
I think it's a perfect gift to give.
And there was an incident, actually, recently that I just heard of, where you asked me to make a cross once. This is, I think it was about a year and a half ago, I think. You said, just make it special. You didn't say what type of cross. You didn't say whether you want a crucifix. You didn't say redwood, bluewood, greenwood. You just make it special, which I did. I think about the recent conference that we had.
Get out of the boat.
About,
yeah,
somebody comes up to me.
We broke even on that conference.
Whoa! Now pay me back the money, though.
That's how we broke even.
Some gentleman came. I forgot his name. Forgive me.
Pat.
Okay. You're Nick. I says, yeah. He says, I'm glad to meet you. And he was all happy with that Irish brogue.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he was talking about, but he says, you're the man that made that cross. Now, this kind of put shivers up my spine. That was the cross that you had ordered.
Right.
Now, not knowing what Pat wanted or Pat did, the cross was based on the Sacred Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can, let me interject on that one. Each particular cross that I make is individual, just like you have we have a personal God. For example, well, let me get back to Pat. He told me that his house was consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yes, it is.
I had no idea.
Yes, it is.
And that put a chill up my spine at that point.
He's very spiritual. He's a great guy.
Well, here's what really amazed me. He was telling me how that cross is in the center, in the aisle of the room, and it has a holy water font. Because every time we pass that cross, we bless ourselves. And that gave me a good feeling inside, knowing that, and it's really not me that made the cross, with all honesty. It really isn't me. I just used my hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody up there gave me the grace to use this over there. Which made me think a little bit. I've been recently looking at things in a different perspective as far as the crosses are concerned. I make them all personalized. Like, I'll ask you, for example, what's your favorite verse scripture? Who's your favorite saint? So now what I'll do is I'll go to that scripture, I'll read that scripture, whatever it is. I'll read up on the saint. So I'm killing two birds with one stone. I'm learning the faith, I'm learning about a saint, and I'm making something special for somebody that was going to use that cross for their own personal use, or maybe as a gift. So all around, it works out well. You know, it's a win-win situation all around.
You know, some of our listeners may think it's funny to give a cross as a gift. Why would somebody give a cross to someone else? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I have. And I give crosses as gifts.
Oh, you are a cross.
I am a cross. Yeah. But I give it as a token. Now, this is going to sound like I'm a wacko, so, but I give it to someone as a token of love, and that person is special to me. That's why I give it. I mean, I could go out and send Joan out and get any little old thing. But when I give them a cross, something that's made personally, it's made especially for that person, because I work on orders. I tell Nick, make me a cross, like, blah, 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 blah. Put the Sacred Heart, I didn't tell him to put the Sacred Heart on it. He just, in prayer, put the Sacred Heart, and just so happened that he dedicated his house to the Sacred Heart. And that's what really impressed him. But when I ask for a cross, and I want to give it, I want to give it as something special, as a token of love, a token of friendship, and something that was not just picked up in a store. That's why I do it. And I give, we'll talk about the Madonna, but I give that out a lot.
But stay with the cross for a moment, because to me, that would be a way of saying, hey, I just want to remind you, every time you look at this, what Jesus did for you. And I want you to be aware, he not only did it for you, he's with you. And by having this cross in front of you in the house, that's Jesus reminding you, hey, I'm here with you. And I think that's kind of a special gift.
Yeah, I consider it a special gift. Am I your best customer, by the way?
Actually,
then I'm entitled to discounts, you know.
Discounts? Buy one, get one free. That's what it works.
But anyway, that's why I do it. And I consider Nick someone special, because he's like my special little friend that I can get special little gifts for.
Well, Mr. Token, would you like to give him some water?
Take your energy drink, Palmer.
You have a website.
Yes.
Tell the people about your website.
Well, it's called Cross, that's C-R-O-S-S, the number 2, Bear. Now, it's not the right bear, it's the wrong bear. It's B-A-R-E. That was a mistake I made many years ago. I was arguing with a friend of mine.
College.
Yeah, before I went to college. I said, no, that's the bear. He goes, no, it's supposed to be B-A-R, Nick. He said, no, it's B-A-R-E. So back, I left it at that. I just left it at that over there. And the reason I put this website together was because people were asking me about, well, can you show me some crosses? At that point, I didn't have an iPhone. I didn't have any phone at that point. And I wasn't about to carry an album with me of pictures. I says, well, let me put some pictures up. Well, what transpired after that was I started with the crosses I was making, some selling. I took some of the proceeds and gave it to organizations.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest one, I have to say, is the seminary. It was one in Huntington.
Yep.
So, and I have to bring my father back up on this one again. My dad, God rest his soul, was very adamant about the church.
Mm-hmm.
He was very adamant about education, and more so adamant about education of young priests.
Mm-hmm.
So, because of the time that he lived in during World War II in Europe, the Catholic Church was obviously very important to him. Well, when he came to the States, he used to give, I guess, yearly donations to the seminary. And once he passed away, he had less of money left over in the bank, I guess, where every year that money's given to the seminary in his hometown. So I decided I wanted to keep up that, I guess, if you want to call it, tradition of some sort. But I couldn't deal with crosses because it takes a long time to make a cross. Some crosses maybe take me 4 or 5 hours. Some crosses maybe take me weeks. So if the seminary had a way for me to pay their bills, well, you know what? We're going to be living in a cardboard box.
Yeah.
Which brings me to what you mentioned before, Anthony, about the Blessed Mother. I was at St. Catherine's a couple of years ago, and I had brought in this picture that my father made of the Blessed Mother. It's a wooden icon, and you know, he did it because he was thankful to the Blessed Mother for allowing him to come to the States. So I brought it in. Oh, beautiful, beautiful picture. And the businessman that he is,
Anthony,
comes to me and says, "This is a nice picture. What are you doing with this? You want to sell it?" I said, "No, I'm not selling this picture. This picture stays at my house." And he advised me on something. He says, "Why don't you make a copy of this picture?" He says, "How am I going to make a copy of this picture? This, you know, I can't make copies of wood." Well, thanks to him, I did make a copy of the picture on canvas.
Beautiful.
And that is another part of Cross to Bear, where I would love to see, and you guys might think I'm crazy by saying this, I would love to see that picture of the Blessed Mother at everybody's house all over the world.
Really? Tell him about the picture, how he made it. That's the interesting part. He didn't just make a picture and carve it out of wood. From what I understand, and every picture that I give as a gift, I ask Nick to write a history of it. I give a history with it. But he made it by putting together little pieces of wood. Putting like a jigsaw puzzle, little pieces of wood, and making the Madonna. And you could see this little pieces, you know.
Little pieces like two millimeters.
Wow.
2 millimeters.
It's amazing.
You know,
patience it takes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's funny. He asked me, like you just mentioned, he asked me years ago, 30-some-odd years ago, he says, "Draw me a picture of a lady's face." I had no clue what he wanted. So I tried to make the face pretty, which is a line drawing. Well, after I did the face, 2 years later, I realized that he was doing the Madonna. And I asked him, I says, "Why did you do this?" Again, like I said to you, he was very thankful to her for allowing him to come to this country. The Blessed Mother was very, very important for my dad. He promised her after he left, like many other people around this world, that he would say the rosary every single day just in thanks for allowing him to come here. And yes, the pieces on the Madonna itself, like a 2 millimeters.
It's a very important issue. Very important. Yeah. It's amazing. And may I ask something else?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite gifts to give, by the way. And I have to tell you, it's in the office of Bishop Caggiano. In
Yes.
It's in the office of the Cardinal Dolan, which we saw the picture hanging up on the wall. It's in the office of Father Drissel. It's in the office of several priests that, you know, were given to gifts. It's also our friend with the website.
It's also in Chicago.
And there's one in Chicago.
And one in the cathedral, actually the house, the residence of the Cardinal in Sarajevo. And he is also, yes.
And so I mean, the picture is very inspirational, and for cardinals and for bishops to, you know, hang it in their office, I think it's got a good meaning. So.
Yeah, it's a good meaning, and it's very humbling too.
It's humbling. And I also have one. I'm waiting for one of our friends, the priest that's been on a show. I don't want to mention the name yet because I'm surprising him, but he just celebrated his 25th anniversary as a priest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting to send that over to him. So it's a gift that I enjoy to give, and I like to give.
But you know, the beauty of all this is those crosses and the images of Mary, they're a reflection of your prayer life. And your relationship with the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary is just...
And your evangelization.
It's unbelievable, yeah. And people will say, well, but you do this on a little tiny thing in your room, but we all do little tiny things. And we all have a mission. And the mission of your ministry, for want of a better term, is to remind people of Mary and of Jesus and how important they are as friends and how they can bring life to your prayer life. If you just think about them and open yourself to their love. And your creations, I know, are done with their love guiding you.
They have to be because...
And you're sharing it. And you're sharing it with others.
Have you ever seen the Madonna? Have you seen the...
No, I haven't seen the Madonna, but I've certainly seen the crosses.
Maybe someday I'll give you one as a gift. Maybe. But it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And you know what? What you said is very beautiful, by the way.
I think it's true.
I think what you just said is you're getting better and better.
Well, look what you do. St. Catherine. No. Now listen. You give away Bibles and rosaries, and you touch many lives with that. And you do it on a regular basis out of the goodness of your heart. And I do it with words. I sit and pray and I hear words, and they may make people think I'm crazy, but I share the words I get because I believe that's part of my relationship with God.
Absolutely.
And each of us sitting around here, Trevor's in the other room, he's not there right now, but Trevor shares his gift of God with the people in his ministry.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and while you keep on talking, it's time for the silent majority to stand up. Well, I think we're already doing it in gentle, quiet
ways. Our own ways. Yeah.
And God is a God of peace and gentleness, I found. And he is not a fire and brimstone God. One time in prayer, he said, I found that all fire and brimstone does is scare people away from me. And I don't want to scare them. I want them to be my friends. So, and even in my own life, he said to me, you look on me as the Lone Ranger, and I will lead you everywhere. Like the guy on the radio and television, he said, you got it backwards. You're the Lone Ranger. You create your own life and your own life space. I'm Tonto, your faithful companion, and I'm with you all the time. And I like that.
Yeah.
I do too, because, you know, when I really get in trouble, Tonto comes to life.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing is, you evangelize in your way, Nick is evangelizing in his very special way, and there aren't too many people who evangelize in your way. I evangelize in my way. We're all meant to evangelize under the new evangelization, which we have to talk about someday so people understand it. But all this, he's a wordsmith. Palm is a wordsmith. You're a crosssmith. I'm a Bible smith. And that's how we evangelize.
And I have somebody else, John Michael Talbot. And he is a music smith. And I'm playing
this. I led you right into that one.
Yes, you did. And I'm playing this just for you, Nick. Because it's telling all of us, don't be afraid to share your personal relationship with God with others. Playing, I stopped it only because I was thinking of you wanting to have that image of Mary in every home. And that may happen. And John Michael Talbot singing that song and let it be in everyone's heart. All people all over the world have heard that song. And you giving away Bibles and how God says, I'm going to lead whoever you did that to. My words, and I get, you know, it's so wonderful to know there's so many avenues that are wide open. I want to mention one because a friend asked me to mention one about tomorrow.
Okay.
They have renovated the movie house in Westbury and have made it into a wonderful little center where you can have all sorts of kinds of musical extravaganzas if you want. And tomorrow they're having a Christian songsmith, believe it or not, day. And they're having three or four songsmiths and who will put on a concert. The doors open at 4 and the show begins at 5.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's another avenue that's alive in our community. And is somebody calling? Tony, what did you do?
God called him.
Okay.
He likes the show.
Nick, we also have a scriptural reflection that we do each week as well, so that people can make it tune in. What is that?
That's you.
I didn't do that.
Is that Jesus?
It's the Gong Show.
Anyway. And through God's love, coming out of the scripture,
mm-hmm.
we have an anonymous writer who does beautiful things.
And John Palmer reads it every week because I'm from Brooklyn and I have a Brooklyn accent.
And I put it on my website every week.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Yes.
Listen to this. Why spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for what fails to satisfy? Isaiah 55. Who says the Bible and religion are not relevant to people's lives today? What people wish to ignore today? The life of the soul. People millennia ago knew what was truly important, and so they saw the contradiction of accumulating material things and yet feeling angry when it came to the essential matters of life. Whenever people stray from the way of God intended them to live, there is unhappiness. Look at the situation of our world and even the lives of your own family members at times, and maybe even your own life. To seek happiness and fulfillment by turning away from God and the active practice of one's religion is always a dead end. Every human being has inscribed in their soul the Word of God, which is divine life itself. To suffocate and suppress this life with lifestyles, desires, and behavior contrary to God's will guarantees the death, not of the body, but worse, the soul. Let us examine our consciences and make a good confession. Let us kneel before Jesus, present in the Blessed Sacrament. Let us read the Bible, the Word of God, daily, and apply it to our lives. Let us seek to be attentive to the sick, elderly, the forgotten ones, or someone in a crisis situation, the unborn, the dying. In being about these things, we will not just find satisfaction, but deep fulfillment and happiness, indeed, blessedness. Isn't that what we were talking about?
That's what we're talking about. Just about. Yes, absolutely.
Do you think that guy wrote our script?
Well, let me tell you something. These things just don't happen.
I know.
They're predetermined. And I believe that. Even in the saints, I believe that they're predetermined.
And we have a saint of the day, believe
yes,
it or not.
Do.
And Anthony, if I don't blow up the music, no, I don't. You didn't tell me anything today.
No.
You kept everything to yourself.
No, I just
you hide it under your little vest.
No, I don't.
And
have
you don't share any. See how and he just leaves me out there.
Now, now the real story.
No, see, you hear it now. This is the expose.
You have a beautiful speaking voice. You would do great on the radio. If ever we need a replacement, you would be our first candidate.
I think I should work.
Do I have a Brooklyn or a Queens accent? That's what I want to know.
No, you don't have any of them. You have a good accent. It's very good.
Anthony, I'm going to try and play some quiet music.
Keep it low. Keep it low.
I'll try.
Lower. All right. I'm going to talk about St. Ignatius of Loyola. We celebrated his anniversary, the saint day, on July 31st. But that's not the reason why I chose him. I chose him because of his conversion, so to speak, and his means of evangelization. Now, I didn't know this, but on the way over, talking to Nick, he told me a little something about Ignatius, but I won't talk about it now. Maybe I'll let Nick tell me if I speak about it. But that was like a confirmation that I picked the right choice. So who is this guy, St. Ignatius of Loyola?
I don't know. Do you know?
Well, you know, it all started with a cannonball. You know what a cannonball is? It may be before your time, Palmer.
It's a piece of candy.
It's a big ball that they used to shoot out of a gun. And that's where they fought. And those big black balls went boom, and when they hit you, you were gone. So he was, that was actually the turning point in his life, because he was hit by that cannonball. He was a soldier fighting for Spain against the French. That was how he came to be wounded by the so-called cannonball. They hit him in the leg, tearing open his left calf and breaking his right shin. He was captured by the French. Somehow or other, the French allowed him to be carried home on a stretcher to Loyola, where his father was a nobleman. I guess the French were nice people, even though they were fighting a war at the time. The doctors there found that one leg had been badly set, and had been rebroken and reset, and then stretched out by weights. Close your eyes and think of the pain this poor guy was in. Ignatius had to stay in bed for a long time. He wanted something to read to pass his time. He did like romantic stories of the knights and beautiful ladies, and he loved reading about that. But instead, he was given a book of stories about the saints. The saints. Having read a few of the stories, including one about St. Francis, he suddenly said to himself, I could be as saintly as they were. Why not? And so can we. So can you, Palmer. And Nick, you, maybe you're on halfway there. And me too, if I tried hard enough. So what is
late? You have to try very hard.
I'm trying. So what? We all meant to be saints, aren't we? So when his leg had mended, instead of returning to the army, he gave away his uniform. He dressed himself as a beggar and went off to live in a mountain cave. Here, he decided to get fit. Not physically fit, but mentally fit. He trained his mind by praying 7 hours a day, and he wrote about what he was doing, describing it as his spiritual exercise. So he was taking steps. steps to sainthood. He became the founder of the Jesuits. Even though he was on his way to military fame and fortune, it was during the year of his conversion that Ignatius began not only to do spiritual exercises, but he wrote down material that later became his greatest work. And he called it the spiritual exercise.
Yeah.
And I read that, by the way, and it is a spiritual exercise. He finally achieved his purpose of going to the Holy Land, but could not remain as he planned because of the hostility of the Turks. But he was still determined that he was going to be a spiritual person. He spent the next 11 years in various European universities, studying with great difficulty, beginning almost as a child, like many others. As a matter of fact, he put himself in a class of 11-year-olds. 11-year-olds to study. That's where probably I would belong.
It's kind of presumptuous, he would be so high.
His orthodoxy was questioned. Ignatius was twice jailed for brief periods of time because of his religious expectations and his religious outbursts. In 1534, at the ripe old age of 43, he and six others, one of whom was Saint Francis Xavier, vowed to live in poverty and chastity and go to the Holy Land. If this became impossible, they vowed to offer themselves to the apostolic service of the Pope. That later became the only choice. 4 years later, Ignatius made the association permanent. The new Society of Jesus was approved by Pope Paul III, and Ignatius was elected to serve as the first general. When companions were sent on various missions by the Pope, Ignatius remained in Rome, consolidating the new venture, but still finding time to found homes for orphans, catechumens, and penitents. He founded all these people that wanted to convert and helped them convert it like he did. He founded the Roman College, intended to be the model of all colleges of the society. Ignatius also became a true mystic. He centered his spiritual life on the essential foundation of Christianity, the Trinity, Christ, the Eucharist. His spirituality was expressed in the Jesuit motto, which was, for the greater glory of God. And this concept, obedience, was to be the prominent virtue to assure the effectiveness of mobility of his men. All activity was to be guided by a true love of the Church and Christ and unconditional obedience to the Holy Father, for which reason all professed members took a fourth vow to go wherever the Pope should send them for the salvation of souls. So he dedicated himself, although he had a rough life at the beginning, although he was a lover and a sinner, he was a convert. Ignatius recommended this prayer to penitents, and I'm just going to quote it quickly. Receive, Lord, all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my whole world. You have given me all that I have, all that I am, and I surrender all to you, and I divide my will that you dispose of me. Give me only your love and your grace. With this I am rich enough, and I have no more to ask of you, but just to surrender myself entirely to you. And isn't that what Jesus is asking all of us to do? Surrender?
Isn't that what we've been talking about?
Yes.
When you do your woodwork, you're surrendering yourself to God, and he's touching you, and it's pretty powerful.
It is.
And the same with you, but not only with you, I know you also journal, And I know you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I know you do divine mercy in the middle of the night.
Yes.
I know all the things you do.
I know all this stuff.
You told me. You know?
What a big mouth I have.
I think it's on his Facebook page, I think.
No.
But it's beautiful because here we are, three of us. I do the same thing. I wake up in the middle of the night, and I listen, and I write what I hear.
You journal, and you have 1,000 books, right?
Yeah, 200 or 300, but or more of books. But, you know, that's all what it's about. It's all about God.
Jesus.
And trying to open your life. The other day, I got to tell you a story. Want to hear a story?
Yes. Yeah.
The other day.
Once upon a time?
Well, it could be really.
Okay, good. I'm sorry.
But about 10 or 15 years ago, when I was really starting this journey to Jesus, I used to make religious DVDs. And I went around to churches and I took pictures of all the stained glass windows. And then I put music behind it. And
wow.
What turned out, in each of them, I never even planned it. I had pictures and I said, well, I like that song. And I played the song and it began and ended right with the last picture beginning. You know, and,
wow.
I uncovered something. I have 40 of them, 40 beautiful songs as DVDs. And I have a crazy idea like yours, Nick. I would love to see RMTV, religious MTV. And so I'm going to give this disc to the young adult ministry.
Right,
and ask
right.
the young people if they would like that. And if
got
they
the
do, if they do, would you create your own? And maybe we can get them on Telecare or wherever.
That's funny you mention that, because I was asked a few weeks ago, and I'll be doing this next year. I'm going to be upstate, I believe in New York, with some of the kids from a Cub Scout or a group. And guess what we're going to be doing?
What?
Teaching them how to make crosses.
Okay.
And the brothers, I believe, from Kellenberg will be there.
Oh.
If I'm not mistaken. Oh. Somebody asked me, he goes, would you be willing to work with some kids? And I said, yes. I said, that'll be exciting. So I'm going to sit with these children and show them what I go through when I'm sitting thinking, praying, imagining, and how they could use all of now God's natural beauty and make something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's going to be really exciting, because that's all part of
evangelization.
And everybody's job.
And that's what St. Ignatius did.
That's right.
He put himself in God's presence, and he determined to become a mystic.
Yes.
You know, and I'm a mystic myself, I
and
guess,
in very
some
mysterious.
Ways. Yeah. I know.
Wait a minute, I got to think about that.
We like that.
But, you know,
I'm sorry.
God, but so are you, and so are you, because God talks to you. And it's true of everyone who's listening. You can talk to God.
Yeah.
And he'll talk back to you.
Yeah.
And you know I have another song with that related.
By the way, Nick gets some words too, I think, from the making courses.
And you both do from your work with
Journals.
The USA prayer question.
Get a lot.
Well, we'll see if it's going to play. Well, I guess it's not going to play.
Here he goes.
He's that was a moment of silence, which was great.
Silence.
Palmer Pascal,
I love her.
And Palmer did this even while she was dying of cancer. And she wrote beautiful music. Have you talked to him today?
Did you talk to him today?
One of my favorite songs.
Yeah, mine too.
Did you say what's in your heart? Did you tell him of the things that are tearing you apart? Did you think to ask his help? Well, you know you really should. He's waiting on the way. Did you talk to him today?
And Nick, I'm
teaching you that these words are inspired by God. And even though my friend George wants to go out and get a glass of soda, he's missing a message from God. He talks to us in so many ways.
Did you tell him?
I'm sneaky, aren't I?
No, but it's true. He does. In all ways that we are receptive.
And here's a woman who died several years ago of cancer and left this treasure chest of music talking about how we can relate to God. You can talk to him. And he'll talk back to you. And you're not crazy.
And he listens.
Yes, he does.
The problem is, do we listen?
That's the problem. So many times I tell people, say something to me. Say whatever you want to me. Go ahead, say whatever you want.
I love you.
Did you hear what I said back? You couldn't hear me because you were talking. Right, same lesson. How long does it take to rejuvenate a soul? Oh, wow. So many of us have been lost along the way.
But you know what? I would say, to bring the soul back to Jesus, how long does it take? It could take a second.
You know what I heard one time in prayer? You wonder if you heard. I have a guardian angel, Theocrates. And one time in prayer, I heard, your guardian angel is sitting around the corner with his wings over his eyes and mumbling, this guy's never going to learn.
This guy's a loose cannon. I could just hear him saying, this guy's a loose cannon.
But to have a silly thought like that in prayer, that's how God talks to us. He puts thoughts in our stream of consciousness. And we open the conversation by talking to him and ask him. Just like Palmer saying.
Did you tell him of the thing?
What is the thing, listeners, that's tearing you apart? What's tearing you apart, listeners?
Did you think to ask his help? Well, you know you really should. He is waiting on the way. Did you talk to him today?
Now that we've gotten everybody in the mood for talking to God, why don't we open ourselves to God for his prayer for all of their petitions and see what maybe he has to say to them. He might have something very special to say to just one listener, and that's all we want, isn't it?
So we want one listener a week converted. That's our mission statement.
Yes, it is. And we ask you, Lord, we ask you, if you have anything you want to share with our listeners, that you do that. We don't control that, you do. So we ask you, please. And I know I'm playing with volume back and forth. I can turn the music off. I don't need music. We just need God's presence. And we don't need anything to distract us. So why don't we open ourselves to prayer, guys?
Let's do it.
Amen? Jesus. We're just holding hands around the table.
Yeah,
listeners, don't worry. We're not going to get a room. So don't worry about it. Praise you, Lord, and we thank you. And he is saying inside of me, dear listeners, I am truly alive over these airwaves. You've heard three men talk about how I talk to them and how I change their lives. I'll do the same in you. You put yourself in my presence now and let me talk to your heart. Be still and learn that I, Jesus the Messiah, am a person, a divine person, that's true, but a person who wants to touch you now. So therefore, those of you who are at your wit's end, I tell you, just be still. Just be still right now. I know you can't do another thing. I know you can't think another thought. You're so filled up with negativity.
in your heart, be still. Let me come in and let me touch you. Anthony? What's he saying in you?
I know, Jesus, you're saying that you're so happy that we spoke about mixed crosses and about evangelization and about bringing people closer to you. And so we give you thanks and praise and glory for allowing us to do this evangelization on your behalf. We ask that you bless our listeners, bless our guests, and bless our radio show, and you allow us to do the work that you're asking us to do. And I know you're pretty happy with the work that we're trying to do. And so we ask that you stay by our side, you help us, you guide us, you hold our hand. Let us know that you are truly not only our best friend, but really you are our big brother. And be that you will always be with us and never, ever forsake us. And so we thank you for this opportunity to spread your word and to spread your spirit.
Nick, how about you? What are you hearing?
I'm hearing quiet, for sure. But I'm going to ask the Lord to... I'm going to thank him from the bottom of my heart about all the people we talked about the saints, about the people in our lives, that they use these gifts that they receive from the Lord, if they can. Even a little spark by looking up at a crucifix, any crucifix, it doesn't have to be my crucifix, maybe a spark ignites within. And with that spark, they can move on and do what they need to do with their family as parents, as aunts, as uncles, as business people, priests, nuns, every form of life, so that God helps them in their life.
And they do everything for the honor and glory of God. And that's certainly what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
His Majesty. We're finished. Closing. Nick, thank you.
Thank you,
Nick. Thank you, audience, for listening. Nick, we love you. Appreciate you taking the time and coming to talk.
Thank you very much, John. It really do. From my heart.
A pleasure.
Good job.
In the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.